praise him in glad adoration. Praise to the Lord who o'er all things so wondrously reigneth, shelters the under his wings he so gently sustaineth. Hast thou not seen how thy desires here have been granted in what he ordained? Hallelujah. 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 Praise to the Lord who does prosper thy work and defend thee. Surely his goodness and mercy his daily attend me. Ponder anew what the Almighty can do. If with his love he befriend me, praise to the Lord, oh let all that is in me adore him. All that hath life and breath, come now is before him. Let the amen sound from his people again. Gladly forever adore him. Let the amen sound from his people again.
Please let us stand as we pray. Merciful Father, we offer with joy and thanksgiving what you have first given us, ourselves, our time, and our possessions, signs of your gracious love. Receive them for the sake of him who offered himself for us, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Lord Jesus, we are so thankful. So thankful that we can bring the gifts that you have given to us and present them before you. We bring to you ourselves this day. We thank you that you, like the prodigal father, put your arms around us, kiss us, put a new robe on us, put sandals on our feet, and a ring signifying your authority on our finger. Lord, you give us the privilege of being new, being new creations. You give us the privilege as forgiven sinners, saints made holy by the blood of Christ, to come before your very throne and to ask for the needs we have and for the needs of others, knowing that you hear our prayers and answer them in the best way possible for us. Lord Jesus, hear our prayers now, both the prayers of our hearts and the prayers out loud. Lord, may you hear them and answer them quickly and according to your will. To serve you above everything else. Lord Jesus, we pray for those who are sick among us. We know there are many suffering during this time, Lord. And just as the rain falls and produces new life in the springtime, we pray, Lord, that you would help us to know the power of your healing. And during communion today, when we have the healing stations, Lord, we just ask that you would help us to understand the power and significance of what it means to be prayed over and to receive a healing that is supernatural. Lord, you have a heart to show your power and your healing to people. So, Lord, we just pray that you would impress upon our hearts that we not only listen to the doctors and the nurses and all those who so graciously serve you, and we just thank you for them, but Lord, that we would trust in your power and your healing as well. Lord, we're about to receive your word and your mystery, your sacrament of your body and blood. May it strengthen us so that we may serve you with all of our heart and all of our mind, all of the gifts that we have been given, that we may truly shine your light into this world and let people know the power of your love. Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated. I'm expecting to see some people who think it's 10:15. And knowing Ann Arbor Ypsilanti time, that means that in probably about 15 minutes, people will be here for the 10:15 service. So, at least we're predictable. Well, okay,
O Lord, open my mouth, that the words that come out of you and pleasing to you, Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let's take a moment to greet each other with a word of peace. We hear those words every week from Pastor Brian, don't we? For many of us, it's time for the holy howdy, right? There's some of us that it's the highlight of the service. It's our opportunity to greet everybody, say, hi, how you doing? Catch up on the week. See all the faces we maybe haven't seen for a week or two or three or four. It's an opportunity that, for those extroverts, it's the best time of the service. There's some of us that are introverts, and we kind of cringe at that thought. I'd rather kind of hide in the corner and not have to say hi to everybody, right? Then, there's also those that purposely situate each other in one corner of the church, complete opposite from the other corner of the church, so that they don't have to say hi to that person, that maybe there's been a wrongdoing that's happened. Maybe there's some unforgiveness that have happened. Happens every week, doesn't it? We do that holy hello, holy howdy, as we might like to call it. You know, there's a lot of relationships that are broken, yet we still do the greeting of peace. Yet we still commune together in the same church and in the same body, don't we? You know, St. Paul urges us first, though, to be reconciled with our fellow Christians. In fact, if we look back in Philippians 4, verse 2, we see two sisters that should have been reconciled. He says, I plead with Euodia and I plead with Syntyche to agree with each other in the Lord. And he continues with another member. He says, yes, and I ask you, loyal yoke fellow, help these women who have been contended at my side in the cause of the gospel, along with Clement and the rest of my fellow workers, whose names are in the book of life. St. Paul gave us the example that restoring broken relationships within the body, yes, it is the business of our church. Our unity in Christ is profound truth that means more than just belonging to the same church. Being part of Christ's body, he calls us to demonstrate his unity with not just him, but also with each other. In fact, in John 13, verse 14, it says, because of Christ, we belong to each other. Our unity doesn't depend on moral perfection, because we could never measure up, but rather the perfection that what God has done for us through Jesus Christ. It's in the context of exhorting two believers that Paul wrote these familiar words. We hear them almost every week in church in Philippians 4, verse 7. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. You've heard that. You could probably parrot it off right? And we don't give that a second thought. May the peace of God, which transcends our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. You know, let's rewind a little bit and start with a little bit of a history lesson. For many of us, this is a review. It's always good just to go back and review the history of our church and that sort of thing. We don't remember necessarily the importance of being reconciled to God and reconciled to each other, but we still want the benefits of communion, right? Communion, the fellowship of believers. You know, first of all, it's important to think about what is reconciliation. What does it mean to be reconciled? Well, if we look in the dictionary, the definition of reconciling is to bring into agreement or harmony, make compatible or consistent. As Christians, we need to be in agreement. We need not to have things between us and between us and God. The early Christian church recognized this importance of seeking reconciliation before worship, and it took seriously Jesus' admonition in Matthew 5, verses 23 and 24, where it does say, therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First, go and be reconciled to your brother, then come and offer your gift. Addressing a lot of divisions that were happening in the churches in Colossae and Philippi, St. Paul admonished the Corinthians also to reconcile. He noted their disunity was especially offensive when they celebrated communion together. In fact, in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 14 and following, and in chapter 11, verse 17, I'm not going to read those right now. Maybe those are something you can read later on. But he really talks about that and admonishes those Corinthians that it's offensive when you're not reconciling between each other and still taking communion. In fact, to celebrate the unity we have together in Christ while divisions and factions is a contradiction to our faith. So, what did the early Christian church do about that? They practiced something very similar to what we do, but in a little bit different way. They do the kiss of peace during worship. Has anybody ever heard of the kiss of peace? Couple. Well, you know, reviewing back in the church history, you might have heard of the kiss of peace. Well, what that was is greeting each other with a holy kiss. And you see that in 1 Corinthians 16, verse 20. The peace of the Lord be with you. If anybody had difficulty sharing the peace because of unresolved issues, they were urged to reconcile with each other before taking communion. In today's text, we saw in Luke, verse 20, we saw the son openly wronging his father. But how did the father greet him? With open arms. In verse 20, it says, he got up and went to his father, but while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to him, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. That's right. He kissed him. The young man's father immediately, in front of his workers, in front of his servants, didn't first say, where have you been? What did you do? Why are you coming back in these old rags, right? He didn't do that. He ran to him and gave him a kiss of peace immediately. Here's a young man that was sweating it. Can you imagine that walk back home? Could you imagine knowing what he did and having to go back to his father and just hoping and praying that his father would accept him as a servant? Imagine that walk back. Yet, the father ran to him and gave him that kiss of peace immediately. In early Christian liturgies, this practice of sharing the holy kiss occurred at the end of the service of the word or just before Eucharist or communion. You know, there's the blue hymnals. You might see a couple hymnals in the pews there. It really is in there, the celebration of the holy kiss. Well, to encourage anybody that had unresolved conflicts to be reconciled before celebrating communion, that's why it was there. It was a practice to fix those unresolved issues. In fact, if you look in Matthew 5, verses 22 and Ephesians 4, verse 1, you see it says, peace be with you as a sign of reconciliation and the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. You know what? The way we do sharing of the peace, it's a good thing. Encouraging each other, saying hello. I don't want to skim over that and say that that's not the right thing to do. It definitely is a good thing to do. But you know what? common niceties can't replace the necessity to make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace, does it? You know, in a lot of church practice, you have the Old Testament reading, the New Testament reading, and also a psalm. And as I was preparing for the sermon, I looked at the psalm, and I'd like to share today, if you can direct your attention to the screen. It was the psalm for this week would have been Psalm 32, and it really goes along with this. Can you read this with me? It says, "Blessed is he whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man whose sins the Lord does not count against him, and whose spirit is no deceit. When I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me, and my strength was sapped as in the heat of summer." You ever feel that way? Do you feel the weight of the sins bearing down on you? Do you feel the guilt so strongly that it feels you can only eat the food of pigs, that nothing else counts? Do you feel like, as we read in the Old Testament reading in Isaiah 12, verse 1, that God is angry with you, and that because of that, you can't do anything right? No matter what you do, it's not going to work out, that you've been cursed. You ever feel that way? I know we all do at certain times. Verse 17 says about the young man, and I love this line, "When he came to his senses." Don't we need to come to our senses? Don't you wish that maybe we'd come to our senses before we screwed up all that time? Don't you think that young man wished he had come to his senses before he had left? You know, we need to come to our senses. In fact, we see in our readings today that we need to be reconciled to God and to each other. We need that weight off of our shoulders. In fact, the hurt and pain of not reconciling, making things right with God and with each other, really will weigh us down, tear us apart, and cause more pain than we ever thought possible or ever thought would be needed. In fact, again, if we go back to the Old Testament reading, it says, or actually in the psalm that we just read, "My bones wasted away. My strength was sapped." Feeling run down? Could it be because you're not reconciled with God? Could it be that your strength is zapped because you're not reconciled with somebody here at church? Could the cause be a relationship that needs reconciling? You know, we still have more hope. If we look in the next verse, verse 5 of that psalm, read this together with me. "Then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin." You forgave. You didn't just forgive my sin, but you forgave the guilt of my sin. Complete forgiveness, not just hollow words, not just cheap forgiveness, but taking that guilt away. Is that the way we forgive? You know, a lot of times when I get up in front of people, I end up talking about my kids, and they probably don't always like it. But when they do something wrong, what's the first thing I tell them to do? Say you're sorry, right? And if they wronged somebody else, one of their brothers and sisters, what are they supposed to do? They're supposed to say, "I forgive you." How often do I hear a real cheap, "Yeah, I forgive you, because mom and dad said I have to"? They don't say that part, but you know that's there. Don't we do that same thing? Don't we do that? If somebody comes to us, "I forgive you, but this, 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 and this." You know, we do that all too often. We forget in the New Testament reading, if we go back to 1 Corinthians in verses 17 and 18, it says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come." Do we consider somebody that is reconciled with us a new creation? Do we forget about that past? Do we move forward? You know, later on in the service, we're going to pray the Lord's Prayer. There's a scary part in there. There's a part that it says, where we say, "Lord, please forgive me my trespasses, my sins, as I forgive those who sin against me." Do we really want God to forgive us the way we forgive others? Think about that for a minute. Do we really want God to forgive us the way we forgive others? Think about the example I just gave of my kids. Yeah, I forgive you. But believe me, I'll remember it later. Is that the way God forgives us? Is that the way we're asking God every week when we say the Lord's Prayer, forgive me as I forgive others? It's kind of scary, isn't it? Going back to the kiss of peace, can today's church really go back to that way of doing things? Probably not. I don't think it'd be real comfortable to share a literal kiss with each other here in church. But we do share the peace of God. We share that peace every week, don't we? In many situations today, instead of true forgiveness, we pass the blame. We look for a scapegoat, we blame somebody else, and blame shifting becomes a substitute for true justification. Can you imagine if we actually shared God's peace the way it was originally intended? We might have a longer service. Pastor Brian might be concerned between services about not getting any lunch. The clock might be watched a little bit more, but true forgiveness, true reconciliation might happen right here. Wouldn't that be awesome? There's a story of true reconciliation that happened in one church, and I'm going to read this. It says, there's a woman named Marcia. She first learned about the original intent of the kiss of peace in a peacemaking seminar. The next day in worship, she quietly made her way to the balcony during the offering. Her church shared the peace before communion. Sound familiar, right? Well, Marcia held a well-known grudge against Mark, the organist. She reached her hand out to Mark and said, I'm so sorry. I can't believe I've let our disagreements come between us. The peace of the Lord be with you. The whole church learned what happened when Marcia and Mark walked down the aisle together for communion. Everyone witnessed in them the peace of God that transcends all understanding. What happened next was a miracle. For 30 minutes, people moved across the sanctuary to share true peace with those whom they had broken relationships. Many approached people they had ignored for months. Tears were shed among quiet confession and sharing of forgiveness. As Holy Supper was celebrated, more tears flowed. No one complained about the long service. Afterward, visitors reported being awed that these people actually practiced what they believed. Reconciliation isn't always easy. In many ways, the holy howdy is a lot safer, isn't it? It's a lot more comfortable than the original kiss of peace. Casual greetings are important, but what Jesus endured for us, he reconciled himself by dying on the cross. You want to talk about comfortable? That wasn't it, was it? That's what we deserved. Jesus did that for us. It's all taken care of. Remembering what Jesus did for us, perhaps we should purposely distinguish between the two, shouldn't we? Between exchanging Christ's peace and exchanging informal greetings. Living reconciliation is a much more solemn yet incredible joyful event. And the peace that transcends all understanding. The psalm continues in verses 6 and 7. It says, therefore, let everyone who is godly pray to you while you may be found. I surely, when the mighty waters rise, they will not reach him. You are my hiding place. You will protect me from trouble and surround me with songs of deliverance. I will instruct you in the way you should go. I will counsel you and watch over you. Do not be like the horse or the mule, which have no understanding, but must be controlled by bit and bridle, or they will not come to you. You know, I love how God compares us to stubborn animals. Isn't that always great? You know, I have a son, love him to death, but he's stubborn. Very often, you might even see me during church taking him by the head, turning it, refocusing, redirecting, and he's stubborn, goes back the other way. Don't we do that all the time? Don't we turn the other way? Don't always listen to God's plans? God's telling us not to be like the son that has to be continually redirected, but to have our head turned, completely focused on him. Let's finish up that last psalm, the last verse of that psalm. Many are the woes of the wicked, but the Lord's unfailing love surrounds the man who trusts in him. Rejoice in the Lord and be glad, you righteous. Sing, all who are upright in heart. You know, when we remember what God has already done for us, we remember that in the New Testament reading, He considers us as His new creations that are reconciled to Him. It makes it a whole lot easier then when we realize what He did for us, how we can go and be reconciled with each other. Remember that. Remember that with all of our sins, God still forgives us. Know that we can rejoice. We can make right with our fellow Christians here at church and truly say to one another, may God's peace be with you. Amen. Well, in that spirit of true forgiveness and in true peace, in the mindset of that early Christian church, wouldn't now be a good time to share the peace of God with each other? Let's do that now. Share God's peace with each other.